Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Man, Mochella, I'm actually mad tight that I did not get to make it out. See, I was at a funk parade meet, so we're about to start it off now. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
What type of friends you got?
Oh, man.
Friends,
I mean,
don't let friends funk parade without Mochella.
You know, things happen, man. Meetings happen. Timing wasn't the same, but tell me about it, though. Give me the on the ground, because all I saw was the aerial shots I saw from in the crowd, Instagram stories. So give me the energy, man. What was going on?
Man, first of all, I was sober. I think that's very important to the story. I think all adults... First of all, I was sober after speaking to the mic.
Yes.
First of all, I was sober. So I think that's important when you talk about a party experience to adults who are of age to, you know, engage in alcoholic beverages and the like. And I still had the time of my life. I don't think I remember having an adult time sober that was as fun. It was a blast. It was like, yeah. It was
wholesome.
I would say it was lit, but I feel like that's the most overused term of 2019. Okay, it was really Mochella. I mean, hoods that usually don't come out, okay? Unless it's for criminal activity.
Streets were flooded.
Flooded.
Crazy.
So give me your, what'd you see, Matt?
So this is, I missed last week, so the one that was last week, but I went to the first one right after the initial incident at the Metro PCS store.
Right.
And just to see the growth from then in terms of, like, the size, the police support out there. It didn't seem like it was any, like, real situations going on. Just people on Twitter from, you know, that don't normally talk about what's going on in the D.C. arts and music scene, like, really saying Mochella and, you know, incorporating not just the DJs that are and the people who are, you know, starting the newer brands that are, like, really popular, but to dig back into, like, the tradition and the legacy acts that we have. So I think across the board, just to show that strength of force, I mean, it's a big message. And to see it expanding week after week, too, I mean, how can you hate on it? It's amazing. So, yeah.
Yo, I agree. I didn't get to make this this third installment, but I did make the other two. And just from the other two, I think it was like, I thought it was fantastic. I'm being honest with you. And when I saw the aerial shots, like, I was in the room and I was screaming like, oh, snap, like, the Renaissance is here.
Right.
We've talked about it before, yeah. But like to see it out there, to hear the people singing like the one note and the one togetherness type of situation, it was woo.
Standing on mailboxes. And
yeah,
stuff,
getting, I seen bus stops. Light poles, on whole bus stops. They were on top
on
of
top
the
of
bus
trucks.
Stop.
Yep.
It was gorgeous, man. Oh, but welcome to the Over the Shoulder podcast. We right back with it. What up, Matt? What's up with you, baby?
What's good, bro?
Man, I'm cooling, man. You know how
Me
we
too,
do, bro.
Man.
You know how we do. We got a special guest in the building today.
You think I'm special?
I think you're mad special. I think you're super special. And I'm so excited for the conversation that we're about to embark on because I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a real spicy one today. Please introduce yourself, Miss Ayana, please.
Hi, friends. This is Miss Ayana. I'm coming through to talk to you today about my favorite thing in the whole wide world, the District of Columbia, and some of the policies within. I've done a lot of work here. I am the people's political strategist. That's how we'll sum that up. Born and bred in the Great Ward 8, and very excited to speak to you today about how D.C. is turning to Disneyland. Anyway, back to you.
Here we go. But what happened?
I said, I love this energy already.
Oh, I love it, man.
I can tell
I
when she started off, this is going to be one of those episodes.
Oh, yeah. Right, of course, we're coming to you live from the lobby of the Lion Hotel on Full Service Radio. Shout out to our producer,
Full
Mr. Alexia.
Radio.
What's popping?
Oh, shit. She didn't cross
Did you
me
see
up
that?
With that.
She got me with that. Ankles real
the
loose.
Polyphonics? Okay.
Oh, yeah. So let's get it popping. You want to start out with our word of the day.
The day.
So the word of the day is a weekly segment we have, we introduce a new word to the vernacular and hope that we can incorporate it throughout the episode. It's brought to you by
Dictionary.com.
Dictionary.com, who will soon be sponsoring us, right?
Be sponsoring us. So
yeah, we keep dropping their name.
You will pay what you owe.
That's right. So today's word of the day is blossom.
Blossom, oh, yeah. Nice. I saw blossom. That when I woke up this morning, yeah. So I think I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you take the
blossom. Verb, to flourish, develop. A writer of commercial jingles who blossomed out into an important composer. Blossom, state of transformation. Blossom. You got any thoughts on blossom so far, Miss Ayana?
Several.
Uh-oh. I'm ready, man. You know what?
Straight out of Ward 8, I'll let you go first.
You know what?
Go ahead.
We're always first. That's why we're the great Ward 8. I'm with that. What are you saying? Yeah. What are you saying? I mean, I think that it's very important that we start this conversation with most of the folks who are influencing D.C. and its culture are not from D.C. Mm-hmm. You can't go to New York. You can't go to Los Angeles. You cannot go to Philly and the folks who are running the show not be from New York, Los Angeles, Philly. This has become the come up city. And we've got to be real that a lot of folks are using really good buzz terms in order to make it look like they're interested to blossom.
I was waiting on the blossom.
There's
several moments.
There it is.
Like,
right. There it is.
Easy to qualify that.
Okay.
To blossom. I'm just trying to put the tip in.
Oh, well, you know what? You know what, Ayana? You know what? Fuck tip. Okay.
We're going straight to go too deep.
Okay? Let's go straight to
it. Wait, hold on. Let me get my word of the day out.
Okay,
the
go ahead. My bad.
You know, in the land and the city of the cherry blossoms,
right?
It's empowering to see the community come out, kind of entering the new phase of the D.C. blossom. For the blossoming of D.C.
Oh, in the cherry blossom season, we blossom again.
Yes, yes. We come back. We rise like the
But are we blossoming, though?
I believe so.
Well, are we buried under those who are blossoming from our own seeds?
Let's find out.
Over
the shoulder.
We're going to go straight to it, right? So last week on BMO Goes Too Deep, we had a conversation starter about black gentrifiers. Me and Matt were sitting here trying to discuss what does it mean to be a black gentrifier? Is there a solution to the situation? Are we a part of the situation? And we got to the end of the conversation and we recognized that we weren't qualified enough to have that conversation amongst ourselves.
So that's a good place to be.
We reached out to the community.
I want to clap it up for y'all for getting there.
Okay. Because I think we're going to break some ground today. So I brought in today what you call the people's politician, the people's ambassador.
No, I am the people's political strategist.
The people's political strategist. All right, so.
And I think before we.
We got a special guest in the building?
I think we need to recognize that I think for the first time in what, like five or six weeks?
Since episode
one. We are in full force today.
That's full force. All three, baby.
You got like a drum roll or some shit or nothing like that? The homie. Himself.
Oh, applause.
Thomas the Great. Tom. My brother, where you been?
I've been all over the world and everywhere except here for some reason.
You know, I want to know about Tom's adventures, man. I really want to know what you've been up to. I see pictures of you on the gram. Look like you was in a spaceship in one of the pictures I saw.
let's catch Tom up to speed on what we about to get into.
All right, man. Yeah, so Tom just walked in the building. Let's recap real fast. So last week, Matt and I were having a conversation about black gentrifiers. I went too deep, right? Okay. And I found out I couldn't go deep enough because I didn't have enough information to qualify myself or disqualify myself as a black gentrifier and then thus try to create solutions that alleviate kind of the stress and oppression of black gentrifiers. So this week, we reached out to a member of the community, and what we found is actually me and her go actually kind of back like five, six years ago at the Boys and Girls Club on the South Side.
Back in the day. When I was young, I'm not a kid anymore.
That's right. Empowering the community, empowering the young folks on the South Side of D.C. I was at the Boys and Girls Club. You were with one D.C. at the time, correct?
Listen, I don't associate myself.
Okay, she was with another community organization. That shall not be named.
What is that?
Voldemort.
Yikes.
Fuck them.
So, very much. On their best day.
So we brought in the people's political strategist.
That is a slight mouthful.
Slight.
Can't be a hashtag.
And I want to, we're about to embark on a conversation that really, hopefully, brings about the conversation we had last night about the I want to be enlightened, brother. I want to learn some things.
This could be my in the bag segment as well. It's okay, the same thing.
Let's just go for it, man. Let's just go for it. I tried to write some other segments today, and I couldn't think of nothing else. Mochella happened last night.
That was epic.
A week ago, I got called a black gentrifier, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
It's a thing.
So talk to me about it.
So first, break it down. Stop being mad if you're a black gentrifier. It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. It's nothing wrong with it. My favorite black gentrifier is Mr. Marion Barry. He will tell you, if you've ever had a conversation with him, that he is a black gentrifier, which is why I can sit comfortably and say black gentrification can be a thing used to harm or help the community being gentrified.
Okay. Okay.
But we must start with acknowledging, hell yeah, you're a black gentrifier.
Okay.
How, why is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give me
where
a
does that come from? Because only birds can move for free, my brother. Only there's several people. That's it. They're, black gentrifiers gentrify for three reasons: either economic opportunity, educational opportunity, or safety. They straight up trying to kill you, my man. That's it. Those three things. There's nothing wrong with that. And yes, there are systems which are rooted in white supremacy that cause that. However, there are people who, because of their economic status, are experiencing all three of those traumas and still can't move. They still have to stay there. Why? Because they have stair step siblings that they're responsible for. Why? Because grandmother's on dialysis and all those things. So just that they can get accepted into all the universities full ride, but how the fuck they gonna get there? Cause it's more than a notion.
Right.
So we always want to cleave to the struggle without being real about what privileges and what access and what opportunities came with the success. And so the black gentrifier is one of those people who made it, right? If Nipsey would have left Crenshaw and went to New York, he would have been a black gentrifier.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
Whether he had a Marathon store in Harlem or right where the fuck he was from. The difference is he chose to be about and of his hood.
Okay.
Period. That's
like,
it.
I feel like I've been saying for like the past 5 minutes.
I mean, because you over there inspired, sound like. You gotta
I mean, I think that we had this conversation on the internet, right?
Yeah. Right.
So like, I've had people knock down, drag out one, come at me, because especially with the whole Howard thing. I'm a bison too. Look at
that.
But the only reason I went to Howard was because I couldn't afford to go to none of the schools that had a half a scholarship for me, or I had to get out of Southeast.
Right.
And so it was much easier to ride the Green Line up to 640, because surprise, y'all are in 640. Period. Y'all are up Leidroit Park. Period. That's where Howard is located. The Mecca is in the hood. Surprise.
Surprise.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
I didn't want to go there. So for the people who only saw the pamphlets in the yard, that was beautiful for them. But for me from Southeast, that didn't appeal to me. I wanted to be elsewhere.
Right.
And so the kids who are from War 8, the kids who are from East of the River, which you can't talk about DC youth and families if you aren't talking about Ward 7 and 8, because that's where the most youth live, particularly in War 8, the most youth are in DC are in War 8. They don't want to be here anymore because trauma has shown up in their life. And everybody's like, oh, but we got violence interrupters. All trauma is not violent. So the existence of violence interrupters, although they ain't interrupting shit, is not, you know what I'm saying, speaking to the trauma of your mom is too depressed to get up to do anything. You get what I'm saying? So you're taking all of your siblings to school and then going to school and then getting pressed out because you're late. And you're only late because your siblings wouldn't have made it to school on time had you not made that sacrifice.
Right.
That's what we're not discussing. So the black gentrifier should help these kids get to school. The black gentrifier should, instead of being like, where's mommy and where's auntie, they should realize their obligation is to be the community auntie in the community. Their coin can't be spent at brunch and then they're talking bullshit about the community over bottomless mimosas. There has to be something done to bridge that gap between individual resilience and community resilience, because y'all have chosen to come to Wakanda. We didn't invite you here.
Okay. Okay, so is there any negative connotation? I know you said we shouldn't be mad because we are gentrifiers, but is there any negative association with the word gentrifier?
Yeah. Hands down.
Okay. So does it then seem disingenuous to both invite us to the community and then insult us at the same time?
It's not an insult if it's a thing. If you call me a black woman, I can't be insulted because I am a black woman.
Well, there's nothing negative about being black or negative about being a woman, but you just attributed gentrification to white supremacy. So it does seem like there's something about
white supremacy about has caused the system.
Okay.
Now we can choose to navigate or dismantle it. And whether we want to acknowledge it or not, the black gentrifier has a pivotal role in whether we're navigating or dismantling. Because see, the black gentrifier can leverage the resources that they gain with that good DC government check to run an office Office of Culture for a culture they know nothing about, and then bring it back to the community they actually know, right? At which point they're helping their own hood. But again, if it only makes it to the bottomless mimosas.
Okay.
All right, I see what you're saying.
All right, I'm trying to like.
It's like the scales of justice.
Okay.
You could very well leverage your resources, your access and your opportunities for your community, or you could be the come up king, queen, no gender, whatever you want to choose, because it's somebody in every category on the come up.
So it's within the race, but it's still separation of class, but kind of taking advantage of positions.
Right. And we didn't create these systems.
Right.
But we do have an obligation to whether we are dismantling, navigating, and being honest and transparent about either one.
So I think a pivotal point of what you're saying is where ultimately the investment of that dollar ultimately goes. Where does it land? Does it land back into the community in which the natives, you know, the people local to this community for generations have been, or is it just people who look like them but don't associate with them?
That's
don't
it.
Don't contribute value, don't, you know, lend service or a hand.
But what I feel like he's saying on a deeper level is that at the end of the day, you are still responsible for your community no matter where you at. So like it's very important to go, like you said, to go to the schools, whether it's to look after somebody. Like, it's very important to make sure you dive deeper than just like this for surface level stuff, because it's very easy to get wrapped up in that, especially in a city like D.C.
But I guess my question is, so for what about the black gentrifier, if we're going to label anybody who's not native to D.C., who's black, who is a transplant and moves into D.C., a black gentrifier? Like, what if they're not the people who are constantly just spending that money on mimosas and stuff on Sundays, or with that crowd of people who don't associate? What if they're intertwined into the community, the schools, the after programs, the town halls? What if they integrate themselves into the community of the locals and roll up their sleeves to work?
I think that's great, but I think there's also a process with that that has to start with relationship building.
Right. Yeah.
You can't come to the community meeting and say, oh, well, I live on Talbert and I just bought my condo and I'm a resident of Ward 8. Son, sit down.
Right.
Please.
There's always seats. Work to be done for
like, what you need to be doing is knocking on doors, talking to the folks on Talbert, talking to the folks on Dexter, talking to the folks outside the corner store on Stanton, mm-hmm. and getting to know them and what are their community needs. Mm-hmm. And then using the fact that because you're a homeowner instead of a voucher haver, mm-hmm. two different categories, right?
Right.
That your testimony is going to go differently and be heard differently than that of the 550,000 baby mamas, as they'd like to categorize, that could come and testify but wouldn't be heard. Does that
right.
make sense?
No, I know. I totally
understand. And I think that where we get lost is folks are like, oh, but I came to the community meeting. So the fuck what? That's right. What the fuck you supposed to do? Now, I hope y'all are allowed to cuss, but yeah, like that, yeah. that always moves me, because is that even where we told you we needed you to be?
Right.
Or do we need you at this peace walk? Or do we need you at this other meeting? For example, it's a group called Care DC that I belong to. A lot of people don't even know that concerned area residents east of the river exist.
Yeah.
And that anybody who is a current area resident east of the river can openly join, attend meetings, even their business can join. Yeah. Because that's the type of organizing that's being done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so because folks are not having those conversations, and because certain social interest groups really profit off of this disconnect, right?
Yeah, I've seen the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, they hustling. We call it poverty pimping.
Right.
Because we're not bridging those gaps, we have folks who getting paid for violence that ain't interrupting no violence. And they from here. So let's call a thing a thing.
Yep.
We got folks who, you know, running our cultural plan that know nothing about our culture. Mm-hmm. So all the way across the board, we missing the mark. And I think it starts with a conversation and being willing to build relationships like we're doing today.
I think to have the best conversation for the time we have left, we should also kind of like briefly state our gentrifier profiles, because even though all of us consider, you know, ourselves black gentrifiers, we have different iterations of that.
Absolutely.
Do you want to start off, or I can go, you know, I'll start off.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I consider myself a black gentrifier because I wasn't raised majority of the time in D.C. I grew up in Forestville. My dad and generations of my family grew up in Trinidad and Southeast. So, you know, being babysat and off of, like, Oakwood Street and Malcolm X up until I was 6 or 7, going to the block parties. My grandma still lives in Congress Heights. But I'm from Forestville. I went to Flowers for high school. Went to, you know, with the exception of kindergarten, which was in D.C., So I consider myself a kid from PG. Went to school in California, grad school in North Carolina, came back, started to want to get into the community. And my first kind of foray into it was like social impact work. Long story short, kind of like poverty pimping, I realized that most of those organizations and those events and those panels, I never saw any of those people really roll up their sleeves and get into the community or talk to the people who are from the community and have them be up on the panels. And different, like, very popular locations in the D.C. area. So, you know, I kind of went away from that and eventually started just, you know, like I said, rolling my sleeves up. So I worked for, I was a mentor for Bill for 2 years at Eastern High School. So I was with kids after school every Wednesday for 2 hours working on their entrepreneurship programs. So, you know, and I've done a bunch of other things. I've done a bunch of town halls for Ward 8, Congress Heights stuff for Art All Night, did the video team. So even though I consider myself a black gentrifier, I feel like I try to put my best foot forward in terms of asking the community, how can I be of service? I'm not sitting on the panels telling them what they should do. I have a team of people who comes and provides infrastructure to film that conversation, to disperse that to the rest of the community. So I consider myself a black gentrifier because mm-hmm. I'm from Forestville, but I feel like I have stock invested in D.C. And I've lived in D.C. for about 3 or 4 years proper now, so just trying to keep that going. But I always defer to the locals, usually when it comes to, like, programs and stuff. I don't try to get, like, I try not to get funds from, like, the city government. I try to just do it all in-house with my team. So
if they're going to give you the money, let them give it to you, baby.
That's real, too.
Let them, if they're
There's a lot of politics with that, though. I've seen that as well.
We've never gotten any government funding since we've existed. Yes. Since 2012.
I can believe that. I've been in that race, and I've tried to help other D.C.-based businesses get their stuff. And
if you ain't for Messy Muriel's Mafia, you ain't getting it. It's all right. God bless her.
And that's just how the money works.
I feel you. Okay. I went to Howard. Came here, 2007? Went to Howard. Left. Came back. Taught a year in New Orleans. Came back. Did about 5 years of service in youth development on the south side. Mm-hmm. Then I came uptown, been putting on events, getting government money, part of the 202 Creates, mm-hmm. part of the Funk Parade team, part of these different systems that have been labeled forms of gentrification that I'm just learning about. I'm having trouble accepting myself as a black gentrifier, mostly because I'm not from anywhere. Like, I didn't grow up in one particular place, wasn't a military kid. I always felt like I came from a very migratory mindset, and I always thought that, you know, black folks were migratory naturally. When you look at the Harlem Renaissance, Zora Neale Hurston wasn't from Harlem. Langston Hughes wasn't from Harlem. James Baldwin wasn't from Harlem. Those are people that moved to Harlem and joined a group of artists and producers and curators to create another level of blackness and black greatness, and I've always appreciated that perspective. So I'm having trouble calling myself a black gentrifier. I consider myself a resident of D.C. I vote here. I live here. Mm-hmm. I pay taxes here. I volunteer here.
I pay my parking tickets here.
Y'all don't pay them tickets. Now y'all lying. Don't nobody pay them tickets.
They come get your car.
Shit towed here. I done had my shit towed here. I done had my shit broken into here.
I've been evicted here. I've been arrested here. Like, I've lived here longer than I lived anywhere else. So it's kind of hard to accept the negative connotation that comes with gentrification, knowing that it is a system of white supremacy, when I very much believe myself to be a black nationalist. This is kind of like the opposite of the spectrum. But I also agree with the fact that, I'm not common. It's not me. I don't go to brunch. Mm-hmm. I know a whole bunch of my friends who do go to brunch.
You do that all
right?
the time.
We had a conversation, 2 weeks ago about one of the weirdest rooms I've been in. It was basically a poverty pimping gala. It was $1 million gala for people I've never seen in the community. They raised $1 million. I promise they raised $1 million in 20 minutes.
Yeah, listen.
20 minutes.
Listen. Throw some millennial on some shit. Call some shit black. Throw a hood on it.
And it's made me
black millennial DC.
And honestly,
Black Youth Project DC.
Right.
Black millennials of Flint. Oh, I don't care. Can't nobody fight me. I'm from the South Side.
No. Ain't nobody trying
that
to
money
fight
don't
you.
That money don't go to nobody. Northeast Performing Arts Group. That's who keeping kids out these streets.
I feel you.
NDB's mentoring. And we don't see a million. We don't see 100,000. No. We don't see a G.
No. And that's partially the reason why I got out of the nonprofit game, is because when I got towards certain level, I saw that, you know, these national nonprofits that come into the city are really here to alleviate systems of white guilt, to be honest with you. It's just a way of washing your
systems of white guilt.
It's washing money through the hood to make you feel better about the systems that you've been in.
Ain't no different than money laundering.
It ain't no different. It really ain't no different, except you just, you know, laundering money for clout, honestly. For your own little white clout. And so, you know, it's hard for me to attribute myself to that system when I'm very anti that. So, you know, I just think, I don't know. It's a tough pill to swallow. I'm having a lot of rebuttals and prebuttals in my head to what you're saying, but
prebuttal,
yeah,
previous word of the day.
That's right. But I'm trying to blossom into a better listener and just hear what's going on.
Plus five,
see that? Plus five, baby.
Blossom into a better listener. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like that's been me at the table for the most part, because when I'm in situations that I'm not so familiar with, I just kind of like defer and listen. So to start my profile, from the area, but not from D.C., I was born in Maryland, raised in V.A. I do know that I love D.C., but at the same time, the same way Matt said, I kind of know to defer, because there are always people who know more about the system, about the area, and about like the ground level than you do. So a lady like we have here, I would really just listen to and understand what she's saying and try and use the advice that she gives to move forward. I mean, currently, once again, I still don't live in D.C. I live outside of D.C. in Alexandria. Might move into the city soon, but I feel like I've been, I don't know, a little bit of both. I've volunteered for different things in the past, and I've also been part of the entities that are trying to make waves in the city, but from the point of view that we're speaking, that will still be the black gentrifier role. So I just have to understand that that's where I am and that's where I stand. But that's not, you acknowledge it and you move forward. You don't necessarily wallow in it.
Right. So I don't want to put it back on you. What do we do? What can we do?
What like the fuck us. You want?
Like the three of us. What can we do to help bridge that gap? Because I mean, in terms of your definition, we'll always be black gentrifiers.
Always, but yeah. I love you. I think the first thing is we didn't have to have an argument about why you were black gentrifiers.
Right.
So, like, if this was a 12-step program, y'all are on step 11, okay? Because step 1 through 10 is getting members to admit and see why it is that they could fall on the spectrum, right, of black gentrification.
Right.
Much like sexuality, much like gender. There's a spectrum.
I got you.
Of gender. Like, you know, you're on the prop. You're adjacent to D.C. in all your lived experiences. You've been adjacent to D.C. in most of your lived experiences. We also got to talk about the flight that took place for folks who got good D.C. government jobs and coins and then wanted to get the hell on. So, like, that's real. And once again, that's that safety, that's that economics and how it plays a part into it. First, you got to build relationships. If everybody you know is not from D.C., you're doing it wrong.
Right.
Period. That's like number one. Then the second piece to that is y'all got to be willing. And I'm saying y'all as I'm speaking to you all, but just in general, folks have to be willing to have conversations outside of the internet, because folks always want to get bouted in the comments section. But like, when it's time to have a dialogue about something and create action steps, they can't do that. The third is natives need to realize that we losing because the gentrifiers are in the driver's seat everywhere.
That's true.
And so by this whole attitude, I meet a lot of people who like, oh, you don't like gentrifiers. Actually, most of the people I hang with are gentrifiers. Reason being, we've gotten so crab in the basket and we've gotten so that strategist piece, right? Mm-hmm. We just want to be seen. We don't want to be strategic. And that's not my ministry. So, you know, being able to, as natives, say, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about, but you did just become the director of the Office of Cultural Planning.
Right.
Or your whole organization is nothing but a clothing line. But you're going to get a million views every time you put your Instagram up.
That's true.
So how about instead of a fake food justice march where everybody's still hungry and only a white man got a grocery store,
Why
don't you talk about how we finna flip the membership fees that you get? Mm. But that also looks like the black gentrifiers who join and wear the t-shirt. Why are you not asking these questions? Why is somebody a hater the moment that they do ask these questions? Mm. Why can't you think for yourself as an individual and your self-esteem so low, you got to join a pseudo sorority? Like, that's what, it's a lot of reflection, self-reflection that has to take place. And we got to look at what individual impact we want to have.
Right.
And then align ourselves with the people who doing that, because as was mentioned, when I was doing political strategy work for 1DC,
yeah,
they ain't want to hear nothing about trauma-informed organizing with youth, and I was up there every week.
That's true.
I tried to give them the Future Foundation as a game. They didn't even want it.
That's true.
All right, cool. Fuck all that. These kids want to be engaged. They want to make their world a better place. So y'all don't want no parts of it, which are multi-million dollar funding, only to buy the building across from Anacostia Metro Station for $2.5 million. So when we're talking about, okay, I'm going to drop it. I don't care. Can't nobody whip me. Okay. In Jesus' name. Okay. Black okay. Jesus, Tyrone Christ's name.
Tyrone.
He got to be real. You know?
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we have to speak on those things. Because if you can raise $2.5 million for a building nobody's in,
yeah,
you can help use that by the block and everybody can eat.
Right.
Teach folks Soilful City by Xavier Brown. He's created Pippin Sauce.
Okay.
All of that is made in Clay Terrace. Okay. He's been able to leverage Hustlers to Harvest and the work that them brothers are doing to be able to create his own sauce. And it's good. Mm-hmm. These are black people in the community. So we have examples of the work being done correctly. We have examples of folks not empowering DC, not creating black workers or wellness, but certainly getting grant funding for it. And I can't be in every room talking about what folks aren't doing. I can only say that the Future Foundation is the only trauma-informed nonprofit working with teens and their families in the Great War 8. Mm-hmm. And you are more than welcome to go to www.thefuturedc.org and see these young people organizing and creating the future they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
In the meanwhile, in between, well, folks gonna do what they gonna do, because this is the come up capital. But what you aren't seeing, when you're seeing folks doing the electric slide claiming that they protesting Nazis,
mm-hmm,
they ain't had that many people out there. So when you gave your $11,000 up, when you gave your donations up, look at who's from the community, in the community, that's not at the march, not at the protest. That could be because you saw they was out there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing the outreach, who are you reaching out to?
Mm.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I generally, just from hearing the countless stories and seeing a little bit of it for myself, I've just kind of lost, not respect, but just faith in, you know, the solution being changing how the government disperses its funds,
yeah,
in terms of the municipal government out here, because I just don't think it'll ever happen. I think we need to call a lot more on those who've come out of our communities, whether it's D.C., PG, you know, Northern Virginia, who have an appreciation and can attribute a lot of their success to growing up around here. They need to start investing their dollar back directly into these initiatives. We need to create those pipelines a lot more. And you talk about, we always have all this pride in all these NBA players that we can say came out of here, all these NFL players, all these entertainers and lawyers and Chocolate City. And it's like, we talk so much shit about the DC government, but it's like, I mean, maybe that's just what they are capable of, and that's it.
Yeah, we can't.
There's a ceiling on that with any government system. There's so much yellow tape. That's inherent bureaucracy. We really just need to start really calling out not just black gentrifiers, but the people who really have the means to make some power shifts.
Right. Who is that, though? Can we name them?
I just did. So first of all, if Empower DC is telling you that they saving Berry Farms and Berry Farms has been leveled, they shouldn't get no more grant money and shouldn't be having no more meetings about anything, correct? Because you were saving Berry. Come on, man.
It depends. Okay. It depends. It depends on the. Do you know the community engagement agreement? Maybe there's like a higher number of affordable. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
First of all, it's called a community benefits agreement.
Excuse me.
Second of all, those apartments about to go for $1,900 to $2,400 a month.
Okay.
Third of all, the only.
Good.
Oh, okay.
That's no good.
And who from the farms can come back?
What is it called?
Come on, man.
What is it called? A community.
It's called a community benefits agreement.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's no set aside units for anything lower than that?
I think that if I'm correct, and I don't want to speak out of hand because I have not seen. Well, sometimes they are.
There's like a mandated percent. I'm just trying to figure.
It's not a mandated percent. So don't get.
They don't abide by that.
Agreements a whole nother show. Basically, the way community benefits agreement works is, I as a big developer get to tell you, at least I did a community benefits agreement, and I might have $100 million over here to the right of me, but I give you $1 million, and then I go, I didn't have to give you $1 million, I just did a community benefits agreement. So we have hood people who don't know shit from Shinola,
who get to come to the table because they were so-and-so's granddaughter and so-and-so's ex-wife, and you know, and so then they don't know anything about a community benefits agreement.
They play on the ignorance.
And they just like to be at the table. I'm talking to so-and-so's developer. So you then have what's going to be a $600 million property with the money that they make. And you, idiot, you only got $1.5 million over 19 years. And there's no compliance or enforcement to be able to have them actually have to give you the money in a timely fashion.
Okay.
But you were the A&C commissioner, so, you know, look what I did.
But you're saying that that's empowered DC's fault?
No, I'm saying is this.
Okay.
What does A&C mean for people who are listening?
Oh, Advisory Neighborhood Commission.
Uh-huh.
But again, if I'm empowering DC, folks should know what an ANC commissioner is, right?
Yeah.
So everybody should be empowered.
What did Empower DC do?
What didn't they do?
I don't know. You tell me.
If you're grant raising and if your whole grant funding and your whole campaign is to save Berry Farms,
right?
And right now, today, there is not a single home in Berry Farms.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right, right.
Where did my money go? If you can't tell me where the Berry Farms residents are, if I pull up to a meeting and there's only one person who identifies as still a member of your contingent, but I gave you six figures plus, what does the accountability look like on the back end? And what would it have looked like to directly get that money to the community instead of some girl named Parisa who's not from D.C.?
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
You can't even find her on the South Side.
Okay.
But yet she's been able to profit from the South Side.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Even 1DC. Where's the 1DC? Where's the members that they're getting money from? Mayor Ford Foundation? Big bucks. Six-figure checks.
Right.
Again, that building is $2.5 million and there's nobody in the building.
Right. So you're saying we should go to those individuals and get our money back?
I'm not even saying it's about money.
Okay.
I'm saying at this point now you have these now they have these resources, right? Now how are we going to use these resources? There should be space for strategy meetings for folks who want to have strategy meetings right across from the metro. There should be space for folks who want to host their radio show but maybe can't make it all the way to the Line Hotel to be able to do things like that, because you just spent $2.5 million on this.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a wellness center, why I can't drop in there and talk to somebody and get therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you have all these plugs. I know. I've consulted for you.
Right.
And so when you take advantage of somebody from the hood,
right.
pay them pennies on the dollar, then they see your budget and they see what's happening is you're finessing the whole community on the strength of their relationships.
Right.
I have every reason to be sincerely disturbed about the finesse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's exactly what's happening right now. It's not that folks don't want the violence to stop. It's not that folks need affordable housing. Folks want to own houses. That's what they want to do. But if they can't get a call back from the million-dollar organization that's telling you that they're giving out affordable housing and teaching you how to buy a house, then what's going on?
Okay, I hear you.
This disconnect. Yeah. But if I go live at the gentrifier's house, bruh, you can't charge me $2,250 to live in your basement and you know you got plumbing problems.
Right.
And you know your mortgage is only a G.
Okay.
And you black. That's not Chandler doing that to me. That's Jamal.
Okay.
So that's the stuff we can do, you know,
based
on where we are at the spectrum.
Okay.
If you got the government job, right, make sure that the next people who get hired actually come from here. Make sure that your policies and your procedures involve engaging the community.
Okay.
It's kind of just that simple. I think we all can find our own way, you know, and some of us are not going to be dismantlers. Some of us are going to work in our good government job till our skin falls off and our 401k kick in. And that's cool. God bless you, Auntie. But don't stop Shanae because, you know, she got coffin nails and her hair might have blonde tips on the end one day. And when you were coming up, that wasn't allowed. Don't do that. That's not cool. That's not okay.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been a great episode. I think we got to wrap up our conversation and we got a couple minutes left. Ayanna, tell the people where they can find you, what you got going on. Oh, my bad, Matt.
Got to do Tools of the Trade, which pretty much is
that's the same thing.
Tool of the Trade. So we go around and we say our socials, right? But we also kind of recommend one tool of the trade. Tool of the trade being whatever is helping you get a particular mission done that's important to you right now.
Cool.
All right. So I will go first. Matt Ashton, you can call me Backpack Matt, Mr. Backpack, whatever. Follow me on Twitter at Backpack Matt. Instagram, Mr. Backpack. That's M-I-S-T-E-R, Backpack. My tool of the trade right now will be Adobe Illustrator. Oh, right?
Came through the clutch for your boy this week.
Yeah. So I'm getting the Fairground website actually made now, and I wanted to communicate to my web developer what I needed. And, you know, I have a design background, so I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to just go ahead and just roll up my sleeves, do the work.
Right.
So, you know, I use Illustrator, put a bunch of nice little squares together to basically create a mock-up so that I could visually represent what I needed to get done. And that has definitely hastened the process of getting the site done. So, you know, shout out to Illustrator for being in a clutch on many occasions.
Yep, yep.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be like a program, but, you know, other guests have said like their CBD pen, their notebook. So it could be anything that's just super valuable to you right now.
Oh, I'm next. I'm Ayana. You can follow me, the less ratchet me, at Ayana. That's A-I-Y-I-N-A-H. If you're down for an adventure, I'm also Simply Nay. And so that's at I am Simply Nay everywhere. I'm the tool of the trade right now. The Future Foundation will be having a very dope fundraiser as a part of the 2019 DC Black Theater and Arts Festival. So if you can go to www.bell, B-E-L-L-E, N, just the letter N, Bulldagger, BULLDAGGER.com, get some tickets to that play, because 100% of the proceeds are going to the Future Foundation. It's an historical fiction piece about DC and Black gentrification and gay shit. It's really good, and I'm not just saying that because I'm in it. I'm saying it. Look at that. Look at, see? Yeah. The come up capital. Yeah. But because we're going to raise some money for these Black babies in their late night lit lounge, which keeps them safe during the summer until 12 midnight.
Where's the lounge?
It's at the Future Foundation. What you mean? Oh, and registration for that is open now. And the lounge opens June 25th when school is over.
All right. Sweet. That sounds pretty cool. It's your boy BMO. Follow me at BMO Brown, B-E-M-O Brown. Y'all know the Funk Parade is coming up this weekend. Come on out. We got, 17 stages, 22 venues scattered across the historic U Street. It's going to be popping. Brought to you by the musicianship as they continue to raise funds for their free music programs throughout the city. So that's our part in trying to alleviate some of the oppression of Black gentrification. And honestly, it's just my tool this week is kind of like humility. It's just a real humble thing to be able to program Black Broadway for a night. Like, it just feels like so many ancestors got my back right now. I was in a room at the Thurgood Marshall Center the other day, and I was just working, and I looked up, and it was like all these great Black men and women are on this wall, and they were just looking down at me, and I was just like, all right, I think I'm ready for Saturday. So make sure y'all coming out to the Funk Parade. Oh, Chris Pirate just walked in the building. Make sure y'all coming on out to the Funk Parade. May 11, get your tickets at funkparadedc.com.
Yes, yes. My name is Thomas O'Sam, a.k.a. Thomas the Great on social media.
Tom.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So my tools of the trade are a dry erase board.
Okay.
I'm real simple with it.
I got you.
And Google Sheets.
Nice.
Google Sheets also kind of pretty much the same thing as Excel.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps. Really helps me and my bros with our business and kind of keep things organized, you know, the sales and just keeping track of all the inventory and stuff like that. And then, you know, the dry erase board is simply to remind you of shit that you might forget.
That's right.
So. I just want to add, though, you do know that you can create a Google form and it will translate into the Google Sheet.
Not exactly, but that's another.
Oh, that's too many levels for time.
It's like, no, I do more important shit than that, you basic bitch. I got it.
No.
I'm joking. He's like, no, I didn't say it was a joke. It's a joke. I'm sorry.
We're feminists here, okay?
He's like, no.
Is that?
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's all we got? Well, hey, look, man, it's been great chatting to y'all. Thanks for eavesdropping in on another creative conversation coming live to you from
Over the
Lobby,
show.
The Line Hotel, Over the Shoulder Podcast.
See you next week, you filthy animals.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.